All right. So, I made a little title slide here. Very high tech, inspired by Scott Hanselman. So, my name's Rob Connery, and today I'm going to dive into Web Matrix, but not necessarily Web Matrix, the framework. I want to get into more of the data story, and also spinning up testing with Razor. So these two things that you're about to see are musings of mine, and I actually called John Galloway last week, and I said, "John, I don't think I'm going to be able to have anything ready. I'm extracting these things from some work I'm doing currently for TechPub and also for a client. It's just not ready yet. I don't have a coherent presentation. I don't want to do it." And he said, "Just do a code mash style." So, having said that, this is going to be incredibly informal. I'm going to try and keep it straight and narrow, but if you have any questions, I'm going to break two points along the way. Take your questions because this is going to be heavily Q&A driven. Having said that, let's jump into it. So I'm going to start off talking about the data stuff I've kind of created. I wrote a blog post on it yesterday. I don't know if you've read it, you probably haven't. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to get away from working with inline SQL. It doesn't scare me particularly. I don't mind it so much. Yet I don't like writing inserts and updates and all that. It's just, yeah. Select statements are fine. It's the inserts and updates that kind of bother me. So I wanted to get away from doing that. And I also wanted to put a little bit of a wrapper around webmatrix.data. It's pretty powerful stuff. So let's take a look at how webmatrix.data works before I get going anywhere, in case any of you haven't seen it. I've added a reference here, by the way, inside of my console app to webmatrix.data. It's right there. I've added an app.config, and inside of there, I have a reference to the Northwind database. It's here on my local machine. It's in SQL Server 2008. All right, well, if I want to use webmatrix.data and just pull some data out, I just need to create a new database. And we'll just call this DB, and we can say database.open. And all I have to do is give it the name of my connection string, and then I can do a for each. Oops, let's do a query. Just say query, and then let's do select star from products. And then we'll just run a for each. And whoops, a lot of you might be familiar with this stuff already. And we'll just say queue. There we go. And then let's just output. And we'll just say queue dot. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Whoops. Item dot. This is where it gets interesting with webmatrix.data. It's all based on dynamics, which is pretty interesting. If you're not familiar with C#4 and the dynamic nature of it, what you're about to see might be a little bit shocking, but just stick with it. There's no types at work here at all. And so typically with an ORM, you might expect to see IntelliSense pop up and tell you what you're working with. That would be the case with linked to SQL or Entity Framework. Not so with webmatrix.data. It's all dynamic. All the stuff coming out of the database is cast at runtime. So what I could do is just make up a property here that matches a name in the database, product name, and then I'll just put in a console.read. And there we are. And that, cross my fingers, should work. And we'll run this. There we go. So this literally just queried my database. I had no setup other than app.config, connection string, and referencing webmatrix.data. All right, well, that's fine and dandy. That stuff works pretty good. However, people will definitely get tired of writing this kind of thing, especially when you want to add in a product to the database. You just write up an insert statement and you say execute. So that is where I decided I needed to help webmatrix.data out a little bit. So that's when I kind of decided to create my little utility. The design goal with this is one file. I don't want a DLL. I don't want a massive framework. I don't want code generation. I want one file. And I want it to pivot on the dynamic nature of C#4. So that's what I did. So I created two things here. I said one file, but it's actually two. But it does the first file doesn't really count because it's extensions. So I'll create that right now. I'm going to call that object extensions. And I know a lot of people that probably are looking at this saying object extension methods, yuck, shouldn't do that. Well, you know, there's a lot of things I shouldn't do in life. I do them anyway. Scare people. All right, well, let's take a look at what this thing does. Inside of here, this is an extension method for a dynamic action, and I'm going to be working with a thing called an expando object. I know a lot of people probably won't know what that is, but it is part of the system dynamic namespace. I'll talk more about what that is in a second. But what this does here, let's see, I got all the properties. Yes. What these two methods do here is it takes a regular old object and it turns it into an expando object, which is a dynamic object that you can expand, create, play with at runtime. And so all I'm really doing inside of here is translating. If it's an expando object, of course, I'm just going to return it. If that's the type sent in, name value collection, that would be a form post. Then I kind of spin this up into an expando and turn it back. And then if it's a regular object, I do some light reflection, woohoo, and then return an expando object. Okay, great. I'm going to talk more about this in a second. I'm just going to breeze right over it right now. It doesn't really matter. Pay no attention to the code behind the curtain. Now that I have my object extensions, I want to work up my little data utility. And so I'm going to add another class. And we're going to call this dynamic model. Now, I thought about being cool and Railsy and calling it active model, but then, you know, don't you think we've copied enough from those guys? I do. All right, so dynamic model, in you go. So I'm going to talk a lot about this code in a second and what it is and what it does. I just want to make sure I go through here and pull up all of these things. Okay, great. All right. So I've got this in here, and one thing I'm super proud of that I want to show you is, look at that right there, right about 335 lines of code. It's exactly what I wanted. I don't want some massive DLL and some massive framework. So let's see how this thing would work. Now first, let's get rid of all of this. There we go. The way this works is you declare a class. And so we are going to work with the products table, so I'm going to call this products. And then it's going to inherit from dynamic model. There it is. And inside of here, we need to create a constructor. And inside of this constructor, it's going to complain. It's going to say, well, it doesn't take a constructor that takes zero arguments. And so what we need to do is we need to tell it, OK, what do you want then? It wants a database. And so we're going to tell it, well, work with the database, the Northwind database that we've been working with. There. That's it. We are now ready to go, and, well, sort of. There's one last thing we have to do. The products class that inherits from dynamic model, it's going to need to know a few things. It's going to try and guess, but if you're explicit, it always helps. The thing it's going to need to know is table name. Oh, wow, I'm hearing some audio spikes. Table name. Now, it could divine this. It doesn't really matter if you name it or not. It can figure it out from the type. But in this case, I'm just going to be specific, and I'm going to say products. And let's fix that right there. The other thing it's going to need to know is the primary key field. And it will divine this if you don't tell it. It'll just guess that it's ID. I don't need either one of these things, but it's always nice to be specific. All right, well, now what I can do is I can say var products. Oops, no, let's do this. Var table equals new products, and then var products equals table dot all. Any users of Subsonic out there might look at this and it might look familiar. All right, so then let's run over this and we'll just say products, and there we go. And then we'll do console dot write line. And again, it's dynamic. There's no IntelliSense. And this is actually a benefit because I don't have to go through casting. I don't have to go through typing. That saves me a ton of code. In addition, I don't have to write any inline SQL, which is kind of cool. The only thing I have to do is give up IntelliSense. Now, for a lot of people in working with Visual Studio, that's pretty much not an option. However, it compels you as a developer to make lighter weight, easier to understand, happier APIs. I won't go off on that tangent right now, but working with Dynamics can actually free you up from a lot of code. And I'll hopefully show you and convince you of that in just a bit. All right, well, let's take a look at this. Again, product name. We're going to write it out, and we'll run this. There we go. Same thing. All right, but there's a bit of a difference here. And I'll show you what I mean by that. Let's put that old code back in. And I'm going to comment this out right here. Whoops, that's not what I wanted to do. Let's put that old code back in and introspect a little bit what webmatrix.data is doing. I think it's important to understand this. So let's do this again. We'll say database.open. And we'll do Northwind one more time. And this time what I'm going to do is I am going to just say var item equals db.query. And I'm going to say single. And I'm going to say select top one from products. Oh, all caps. Sorry. I guess I'm shouting at my database. All right. Well, I want to actually, here's what I want to do. I'm going to say console.writeLine and then item.getType.name. What exactly is this little creature that we're working with here that WebMatrix is sending back to us? It says dynamic, but it's something a little bit more. So let's run this. And looks like I blew it. Incorrect sentence intersect top one. Whoops. See, this is why I don't like inline SQL. There we go. I know. You guys are virtually shouting at me right now, yelling SQL over my shoulder. Okay, what is this? Dynamic record. That is a strange looking thing. Well, let's come down over here and take a little bit of a deeper look at what dynamic record does. And what I can do is just say var dr equals and then dynamic record. And then item. And now what we can do is take a look at what this thing will do for us. So look at that. It's got an ilist of string of columns. So in other words, it will look at the query and then it will divine out what columns are coming back from your database. Other than that, it really doesn't have much. These two extension methods are my own. But down here, they have just a bunch of other dynamic action. So working with this thing is pretty straightforward, but if you want to shove data back in to the database, well, that's where things get tricky. Wouldn't it be nice if we could have some core object type that would come out of the database that we could also send back to the database? Now, if we're working with Rails, that would be an active record or an active model. If we're working with something like EF, that would be an entity, or linked to SQL, I guess would also be an entity. I can't remember off the top of my head. Subsonic, it would be an active record. Well, what we could do is we could actually play the same game here with dynamics. That's where the expando object comes in. And so that's why I showed you in the very beginning why I have my object extensions. The expando object is pretty cool. You can come in here and you can say dynamic expando equals new expando object. And then we could say something like expando.name equals Rob. And guess what? That works. And we're able to expand that object, add new methods. We could hook in just about anything we wanted to, which makes it the perfect candidate for slinging data around the universe. All right, well, let's go back here, and I see some questions in the queue. Let me see if I can answer those really quickly. I don't even know if those are still mine. Are these still mine? No, these are, wait. John, are you still there? Okay, well, I'll pretend he is. There he is. Oh, good, 9:07, I can see the time. Okay, let's see. That's all right, no worries, I figured it out. I just wanted to see if we could clear these questions out so I know how many I've got in the queue. When is the WebMatrix material coming to TechPub? John, if you could mute, that would be great because I'm hearing an echo. That's okay, thank you. When's the WebMatrix material coming to TechPub? I'm spinning up the whole thing in the next couple of days. And hopefully within a couple of weeks, I'm going to drop it all at once as opposed to one at a time. So it's coming soon. Okay, well, let's go back to where we were before and come back here. And we'll just do Control KU. There we go. So now we have a table here that's basically working with the products table, pulling out all the records. What's some of the interesting things we can do? Of course, we can spin out these things. Let's see what else is possible. And I am going to remove this, and I am going to drop in a single. And this is just going to ask for a key. And so then I'm going to say console.writeLine. And let's just actually make this singular. My goal here is to make this as painless to work on data as possible. And there it is, product single 5, Chef Anton's gumbo mix. All right, well, let's also output what type we're working with. And we'll just say product.get type dot name. And there we go. Let's just run up and see what we're working with. Expando object. Well, that's neat. Why do we care? Because we don't like the name Chef Anton's Gumbo Mix. Perhaps we want to do something like product.product name equals, oh, poi pounders. For all you poi fans out there, poi's awesome. And we want to save this. We just say table.save product. Would you believe this is going to work in just a few lines of code? Let's pull this back out down here. There we go. And let's take out the console write line. And let's see if that worked. Poi pounders. There it is. So to prove to you that this worked, let's go over here and open up SQL Server Management Studio and sing a little song while it decides to open up. You can fantasize about how much you like poi. I like poi. And we'll go here to Northwind, tables, and products. And we will select the top 1,000 rows. And Chef Anton's, there it is, poi pounders. Woohoo! So yay, that worked. Pretty simple stuff. Okay, let's come back down here, and I'll close this thing down. All right, well, that's neat. Let's take a look at this a little bit more. Now, this is a very traditional ORM-y way of doing things. You pull a record out, you update it, and then you send it back in. Well, I could have done this a different way if I wanted to. And to show you that, let's just take this out right here. I could have just said something like, here, let's put this so we don't get an error. I wanted to make this as simple to work with as possible. So you could do something like update, and then you could do new, and then new and product name, and we'll equal it to, oh, let's say Kahlua Pig, which is awesome stuff, by the way. And then next thing we just need to do is send in what key we're talking about. 5. That's it. So we're using anonymous types. Now, how does that work? How does it possibly work? Again, this is the power of using dynamics. We're able to introspect the argument coming in, squeeze it into an expando, turn that into SQL. And that's pretty much the core of this whole approach. And so I'll run this, Kahlua Pig, there it is. Well, it tells us it's Kahlua Pig. Let's go back over here and run this query one more time. Kahlua Pig, broke the mouth. All right, so that's good stuff. That's what we want to do there. There's a lot of other things we can do in here. We can also sidestep entirely this entire little machinery noise, if you want to call it that, and work directly with the database. And if you want to just do anything on the database itself in a web matrixy style, you certainly can. You can come in here, you can do queries, query single. Again, this is webmatrix.data stuff, query value, and so on. All right, that is the thrust of how this thing works. There's a few other things you can do, of course, as well. You can come in here and you can do, instead of Kahlua Pig, if you have a post coming in, you can say HTTP context. Let's see, I don't think I have system.web in referenced here, but you could say HTTP context.current.request.form, and that will work because it's sending in a name value pair. That's just going to be turned into an expando object, which then is turned into a SQL statement, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, let's go take a look at the code that's underneath all this, which is here. Before I do this, is there anybody with any questions? I just want to check this. And no. All right, keeping it moving. So as I mentioned, the goal behind all of this is to make data access easy and somewhat painless. Now here's a question, I think. Does WebMatrix support other types of databases besides SQL Server? Yes. This is something that's not terribly well known. I'm glad you asked that question. Inside of here, let's take a look at varcon equals table dot db dot connection. This is where the magic is. This is system.data.common.db connection. And the cool thing about that is any provider out there that supports system data common or gives a driver for it will work with this connection. So I haven't tried it. Let me back up. I have tried it with system.data.common with Subsonic. And so Subsonic works with MySQL, works with Oracle, works with Postgres. Those guys provide drivers for System Data Common. Given that WebMatrix pivots on System Data Common, it's reasonable to assume that those will work with MySQL and Postgres, Oracle, and anything else. All right, we got another question in here. Does WebMatrix support transaction management? Yes, yeah, you guys are great with questions. It sure does. In fact, that was one of the things I was working on last night. I pulled up a little bit, stopped myself. But one of the things we can do, since we have the connection open here, is we can do something like this. You can say using var tx equals con.begin transaction. And then from there, you can do whatever you like. And this is where you get below the layer. This is why I like WebMatrix so much. It allows you to get below the abstraction if you need to and work with transactions directly. In this case, all you need to do is spin up the SQL or spin up a command and have the executor go off and do it. This is one of the things I actually wanted to have ready for the demo today. I didn't have it done in time. As I'll show you here in Dynamic Model, it's fairly straightforward to take your expandos, turn them into SQL, and shove them into a command, which turns it into transaction, and you're good to go. All right, you've got one more question. You've got a couple more questions here. See if I can do this quickly. Did you see No. Well, it depends. That's a good question. It depends. It depends on your level of comfort. I like SQL. I like working with SQL. I think a lot of developers out there do as well. But it's kind of the same thing as the tooling debate with web forms and MVC. Depends how close to the abstraction you want to be. So I don't think Microsoft's going to replace anything. I think they're going to keep offering it as an option. Can I redistribute WebMatrix data assembly standalone? Yeah, I believe you can. Yeah, it's just webmatrix.data. In fact, one of the things that I think if you go into program files after you install this stuff, C program files, there should be one in there called microsoftasp.net, I believe, or IIS, one of the two. Inside of there, there's all the assemblies, including webmatrix.data. Let's see. I had some problems with querying for a single row when some columns contain null, then maybe just skip that column. Yeah. Did you do something wrong, or did you also experience that? You know what? I didn't experience that. And the reason I know that is because there is a column that's in my database that has null values, and I was trying to put the value back in, and it was freaking out. So I had to write some code, which I'll show you in a second, which will actually skip over that null value. But no, it actually pulled it out just fine. This is Obsidian 2. No, this is Son of Obsidian. If you go to Visual Studio Styles, I think it's called, vsstyles.com, and you can, I think Studio Styles, whatever. Anyway, it's Son of Obsidian. It's one of the most favored ones. I like it a lot. All right, well, let's move on here, and I'll take your questions again in just a few minutes. I'm almost halfway through. I want to spend about 10 minutes talking about a few other things here. Okay, let's dive into the code. I'm sure a lot of you are wondering what's going on in here. Well, this whole class here inherits from Dynamic Object. So if you're just getting new or used to Dynamics with the Microsoft C# 4 stuff, there's two things you should be aware of. First is Expando Object. The second is Dynamic Object. Expando, we've already seen. Dynamic is sort of the core. So in the same way that System.Object, or whatever it is, system, the core object for all classes, you can think of Dynamic Object in the same way. It allows you to do certain things. All right, well, the Dynamic Model requires that we have a database in here. And so that's in the constructor. We use that database elsewhere inside. We have a primary key field. Now, this primary key field works on a bit of convention. It will default to ID. Now, this is the thing that, this is the reason why I want this to be in a code file. I'm going to show you a WebMatrix project in just a second. I don't want a DLL because I want people to be able to change this. I want to view this as a code utility. You don't like my conventions, just come in here and change it. And that is a very Railsy, Sinatra, Ruby, Python, whatever. It's a very open source way of doing things in the dynamic world. Just give me the code and I'll change it how I need to. All right. And another method that we have in here has primary key. It just simply spins this object to a dictionary. It's an extension I created. And does it contain a key, primary key field? Is it there? Is the primary key set on the dynamic object? If it is, then has a PK. Why do we care about that? Well, we care about that for updates. You'll see in a second. This method does the exact same thing. It just pulls the primary key value off using our convention. Table name, just a property as you've seen. All right, well, this is where the fun starts. This is my insert statement. And again, the code you're about to see is fairly prototype. I'm sure there's ways to make this little bit better. So maybe I'll open source this. If someone wants to take this and run with it, go for it. It's your typical stuff. I borrowed a lot of this from Subsonic and the way we spin stuff up. I don't mind writing SQL, as I said. The last thing here is the important part, select scope identity. Since we're using SQL-based systems, we can use select scope identity to return the brand new ID out of the database after we run the insert. That's pretty much it. String builders, we loop over those string builders. We add the arguments at the same time. We put everything into a dictionary, as I mentioned. I didn't mention that. I'm sorry. I should back up. We are working with expandos. So this is where my two expando is coming into play. Insert accepts any object. It can be a POCO, name value collection, as I mentioned. It can be anonymous, and it can be an expando. We want to make sure that that's set to expando and turn it into a dynamic type. Now, a lot of people might be looking at this saying, what about the memory hit? Well, I haven't seen any problems with that. It's not a problem until it's a problem, although it could become one. But I can't imagine that it'd be any cheaper than crawling through the massive link translations that EF and Link have behind them. Anyway, so I'm just turning this into an expando. And from there, the cool thing you can do with an expando object is you can cast it as a string object dictionary. A lot of people don't know this. It's pretty neat. There's no special sauce right here. You just cast it as an iDictionary string object. And from there, we can spin over that dictionary, build out our string builders here, create our insert statement, load up our arguments, and then we'll send them off. That's pretty much it. And I'll be taking questions about this code at the very end, so if you guys can just wait for just a minute, that would be great. Update works in just about the same way, except I also want to be explicit about passing in the key. Again, I don't want to get in your way making sure you have to memorize certain rules, like, oh, I forgot to set the primary key on my update object. Why is it not working? Just pass it in right here. And again, we have sort of the same code in here. It's just spinning out an update statement. Finally, if you're feeling a little bit lazy, you can run save. This is where hasPrimaryKey comes in. So what we do is we turn this into an expando object. I keep saying we. I guess I should say me. It turns it into an expando object, and then we say, hey, does this thing have a primary key? If it does, well, that must mean it needs to update. Kind of a loosey-goosey rule right there. But again, this is a data utility. It's not a full-blown ORM. So hopefully you can learn to play by the rules. And again, if you don't like it, the idea is that this is just a script file. It drops into your app code directory. Change it as you will, and hopefully commit back to the GitHub repo. Then we have two forms of delete we can do in here. We can just delete by a key. We can also delete by a where statement. Simple stuff. And then we have the selectors. All can pass in a where and then args. And I didn't actually show that before. I probably should. When you pass in a where, you are have the complete ability, just like you do with web matrix data. You can use your own appended where statement, which we don't recommend, of course. Or you can pass in parameters, and these are passed in as an array of objects there, and you can just append those down, and they turn into a parameter, SQL parameters, so we can avoid SQL injection. But that part's up to you, and that's the kind of thing I like. So we have a full-blown one here that accepts order by and limit and args. There's a little bug in here somewhere I got to figure out, but it all works for the most part. And let's see. Convert record, this makes sure that what comes out of the database is also an expando. As you saw before, what comes out by default from webmatrix.data is a dynamic record. And, well, that's neat and all, but we want to be able to work with something that we can shove back in, so we make sure we do the conversion right here. And there's probably some better code for this, but I just haven't had time to clean up my own mess. And then single, I'm just going to glance over that. And then finally, I wanted to put in some hooks. I played with the notion of validations before. If any of you read my blog post yesterday, you saw that I had some validators in there. And I wanted to do a kind of a Railsy thing, and I thought, you know what? That's making this class do two things, and I don't like that. It already does a bunch of stuff anyway. But anyway, if we have validations, then you got to go through all these rules and imposing things on people. And I thought, you know what? Just write your own. We'll just fire these things right here before insert, and this is going to return Boolean. So if you want to back up here in the insert statement, I'll scroll all the way back up here, we check it. If before insert, if it's okay, then go. If it's not, then it'll throw. And so those kind of hooks are set throughout. That's it, man. That's all that's in here. Just basic queries and so on. Again, fitting it in 300, just over 300 lines of code. And that's my goal. All right. So let's take some questions. I want to take questions for a few minutes, and then I want to move on. We're halfway through, and I have some other fun stuff to show you that I've been working on. So let's see. I'm going to drop over here. And let's see. Can you have different property names from your database column names in your example? Not really. I mean, the whole idea of dynamic is cast at runtime. I'm trying to think how that would work. Actually, yeah, you can. What you could do is you could alias that in your query. So, for instance, if you wanted to pull only two things out, let's take a look. If you wanted to only pull two things out, what you could do is you could, again, remove the abstraction here. I'm trying to think how this would work. You could do something like this. I'm making this up as I go. You could say table.db, db.query, and then inside of here you could say select product ID and then product name as name from products. Any bet on whether this will work? Let's try it. And let's see, for each var item in query, and then we could just say console.writeLine should work. Query.name. Let's see, and let's get rid of this. And we'll run this coding on the fly. Let's see. Oops, item.name. Almost made it without an error. Wouldn't that have been fun? I'm having good luck so far. I haven't crashed any. Look at that. It works. All right, so that's how you do it. You'd have to cast it in your query. I hope I answered your question about that. Let's get rid of this window. All right, and moving on. Let's see. What mechanisms do you recommend to help in troubleshooting runtime issues? Should column names change? Oh, boy. Yeah, those would be called unit tests. Sorry to sound that way. No, but seriously. What you want to do is you want to make sure you unit test. This is an interesting thing about Rails. Those guys don't care about hitting the database. And you're going to see what I mean by that in just a second when I take a look at the testing stuff. I didn't mean to be snotty, and I'm sorry if that came out that way. But you want to make sure you test this stuff, because using dynamic anything, it will change. You don't have the compiler to throw when, you know, in runtime or design time, when you're spinning the code out. So you want to make sure you wrap everything tightly with tests when you're doing this kind of thing. How many Red Bulls did you consume before your session? If I'm talking fast, it's because I have a lot of stuff to cover, but I do have a big fat cup of coffee here. But hey, man, no chickens. In general, how is the performance when compared to ORMs, the F4-way matrix? You know what? That's a good question. You know, we're working straight against the metal here, as I mentioned, and that's one of the other cool things about working with webmatrix.data is, again, if you want to sidestep it all, you can. You can go straight down to system data common, run up your own select statement, and think about the thing that you're sidestepping there. Now, you're sidestepping a lot of link translation. That's not like heavy stuff. It goes really quickly. But you're writing straight up SQL, and when you're bringing it back out, you're casting into a lightweight dynamic record. Reflection's involved, but reflection is involved in those other frameworks as well. There's just less of it. Having said all that, I would generally think that what you're shaving off is nanoseconds. I wouldn't even worry about it. Your indexes in your database are probably going to cause more of a problem than the code here. All right, let's move on. Red Bulls. You know, no Red Bulls for me. I'd be a freak if I did. Okay. So for TechPub stuff, what I've been doing here is I've been working on an opinionated web matrix site. I love the approach that web matrix has, and the reason why I have it is it's, again, I keep saying this, a thin veneer over a pretty powerful core that gives you a dynamic approach to building out a web page. Which, hey man, that sounds like just about every other framework out there, like Rails or Django or whatnot. There's a lot that can be done with this stuff. And I remember Jeremy Miller had a quote about ASP.NET MVC when it first came out. He said, it's a great framework to build a framework on top of. And so they went off and did FUBU. But I would say the same thing about WebMatrix. And having the ability to work with this stuff close to the metal is great. All right. One of the things we don't have is we don't have tests. And so that's what I wanted to tackle first off with my little starter site here, if you will. I'm going to talk a little bit about my opinion that goes into the site, then I'll jump into the test in just a second, but I just wanted to show you what's right here. So the idea with this is I wanted to kind of organize this in a conventional way. And I know a lot of .NET developers are kind of jumping over the fence, do a little bit of Rails, and then checking it out, coming back. But I thought, you know, can't we all speak the same language? And so what I wanted to do is have an app code directory that sort of functions like an app directory. Inside of here, we'll have config, and we have site configuration. It's done inside there. I'll have more to say about this when it's all baked. And we have helpers in here. We have Flash. It is my favorite little helper. I'll show you what that is in a second. Inside of our library here, I have a bunch of extensions that I peeled off of Subsonic, things that allow you to do, that augment C#, that allow you to do date math and weekdays and all that stuff. Now, if you don't like all this stuff, that's fine. A lot of people don't like to see a littering of extension methods. I don't mind it because, you know, if you do them correctly and you name them properly, it makes working with the language a lot easier when you have methods that can express date math or do IO or regex, common regex patterns, or string stuff like chop. Many times you just needed to remove a little bit from the end, and it's, well, nowadays it's a little bit easier, but anyway, singular to plural and so on. All right, well, the one thing that's kind of missing from the web matrix story is testing. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to bring the same level of syntactic love that RSpec has brought to Rails. That's my goal, at least. Now, I'm not a BDD expert. I always have to lead with that caveat. What you're going to see is my attempt at making it simple to do testing with WebMatrix. So I have a few base classes in here. I have my little assertion stuff, shoulds. I'll talk about the code in just a bit. A core class called a test result. When it's run, this is what's returned. And some responses. So if we want to query a page, we sure can. I'll show you how that works in a second. Let's jump over and see how that looks. I'm going to go over here to my test directory. Inside of here is my test runner. And let's get rid of this HTML source editing. Inside of here is my test runner. And this is kind of a funky DSL. But this is also just Razor. And you might be thinking, what in the world? How can this be Razor? Well, because this right here is what's known as a helper. This is the first time you've seen Razor. This is going to look a little strange to you. But you can use these little helpers inside of your CSHTML pages. And it's just going to go look for a class in the app code. And inside of here, it's going to look for a helper called should. It should. It is the name of the class, method should. And these things are designed to give you output. And there it is. It should. And then it should can also take in some methods. I'll dive more into the code in a second. But that's the mechanics here. It should, you pass in a title. And then you pass in an anonymous delegate. This is a func dynamic, if you will. And then inside of here, it's just going to run this. That's all. All right, well, let's take a look at the site, and I'll kick this thing up. Now, if you're wondering why am I not using the WebMatrix IDE, I like it. I just don't think we need to use it. Anyway, and that's not being snotty. It's a little bit hard to get through sometimes. And Visual Studio gives you IntelliSense and a bunch of other cool stuff like the Obsidian theme. So this is my site, and right now it just has a welcome message and that's it. But let's go over here to tests and then runner and run this. And the cool thing about the testing stuff here, there you go, is this is what it renders. And so it kind of looks like a candy stripe, if you will, but this is our test runner. And if you're familiar with using RSpec or Cucumber or any of the test facilities with TextMate and Rails, this should look familiar. Red, green, refactor, and this one here is pending. And so these are just kind of things I wanted to kick up to see how it would look on a page. And so let's take a little bit of a deeper look at this. I'm just going to leave this open right over here. All right, let's get rid of this window and this window. In fact, let's get rid of all of this and rewrite it and start from the beginning. How is this thing supposed to work? Well, the idea is that when you're sitting in, you're sitting in a meeting and people say, okay, well, what's going to go on the homepage? Let's talk about the homepage. You guys ready now? Okay, take some notes. And so you decide, all right, I'll take some notes and we're going to describe our homepage. And once you start writing, or once you guys start talking about things, you talk about what should be on the homepage. And someone says, well, it should have a title. What should the title say? And it should say, well, welcome to our site. And you say, okay, well, you can say it should have a title that says welcome to our site. And it should also have welcome on the homepage. It should have welcome on the page itself. And let's just say in the body. There we go. And it should have a few links. It should have like 6 links. Let's say it should have, some links. Some links on the homepage. All right. Well, we could go on and on with this list, but it's simple enough to take notes in this fashion. Put them right here on your page. You don't, of course, have to do this, but that's the idea. This is the intent of what your site should be trying to do, going to be doing. So you come back over here, we refresh this, and that will actually run those. And, oops, I always do that. I'm so used to putting these little semicolons in. You don't need to do that with Razor. And we'll come back over here and refresh this. Pull this back up. All right, well, notice how this plays out here. It's pending. Pending yellow means that it hasn't been done yet. Well, that's what we can do now. We can go back in here and we can make this all turn green. So let's start with the first one. It should have a title that says welcome to our site. We can leave this page up. It doesn't matter if it's up or not. So where did everything go? I could turn this off. It'll keep running in the background. All right, so page out title, welcome to my website. Well, what it should say is welcome to our site. Okay, well, I've fixed that. Let's go back here and engineer our test back in our runner. And what I can do now is I can expand this. I can say, actually, I did that backwards. It should be red, green, refactor. Bad tester, Rob, bad. And then we're going to put in a delegate. And this needs to have braces right here. All right. So what we want to do is we want to save our response. And then we're going to say site.get. And then we're just going to have it request the home page. That's it. And that response is known as a get response. There we go. And inside of that get response, you can introspect a lot of fun things. You can take a look. Fat fingers. Response.body. You can take a look at the text that's inside of the body. Body links. It parses out all the links that are inside the body tags. The HTTP status code, if you want to take a look at whether it's okay or whatnot. The headings, all the H tags, HTML, all the links. Was the response okay? Was it redirected? If you want to just look at the raw response itself, you certainly can. And then there's the title of the page itself, and then URL. So this is actually performing a response against your running site that you can then test things out. Now, if you've used RSpec in the past, this is something you've been able to do. If you use Water for .NET, or Watin, excuse me, it does the same kind of thing. I wanted to make it a little bit easier. So response.body should, and this is the stuff I wrote, should, I believe it's should contain, and we'll just say welcome for right now. All right, that's it. So we come back over here, and let's refresh this. And that gives me an error. What did I do? Oops. Because I almost made it through this whole thing without an error. Forgot a return statement. Why do I need a return? Well, it's because this guy right here is a func dynamic. It is not an action. Because it's a func, it expects a return value. That return value is a test result. I'll show you that in a second. Okay, we'll come back over here, and I'll refresh this now. And, whoops, it should have a title that says, Welcome Not Found in Sample. Interesting. Oh, well. Let's go back over here, see if we can debug this. Page.titles, welcome to our site. Welcome to our site. And if we go back over here, let's just debug this really quickly. Welcome to our site. Contains welcome. Oh well, bummer. Should contain welcome. Let's try this. Should be equal to. Did I mention that this is still a kind of a rough? And let's try, oops, don't want to go there. There we go. Let's refresh this. Oh, well. Hey. Oh, well, it worked yesterday. Anyway, that's the idea. I know when I finish this call today, I'm going to sit here and say, oh, that's what I did wrong. Oh, well. So that's the idea. I'm just going to skip ahead and say that's the syntax. I want to show you the code and how this all works. Actually, for right now, I want to take a few questions about where we're at and what you've seen so far. So if you have any questions about the testing stuff, fire away. And I'll go over here and check these. Response.title. Thank you. Perfect. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. See, I knew it wasn't that hard. And let's give me a good dough. Oh well, what can I say? We're getting close. Anyway, any other questions? Let's see, we got a few here, yeah. And let's see. Hand up. Well, I don't really know. It's a capital welcome. That's true. Well, whatever. We could all debug this together. It does work, and I guess I'm just not such a good demo guy on the flight. Let's try it. Let's do should contain. Sorry, I can't let this go. Should contain. Should contain. Should contain. Welcome to our site. Let's try that. Maybe that'll be a little bit better. You believe I wrote this over the weekend? Oh, well. I forgot the date. Oh, jeez. Thank you. My goodness. Thanks. Hey, look at that. It's green. That's what they call landing it in the Hudson. Right there, man. Oh, all right. We pulled it up at the last second. Okay, so that is the goal right there. Let's take a few more questions. And it looks like something is whacking out. What's going on? Something is whacking out. There we go. All right, let's take a few more questions and I'll move on to talking about the code. Yeah, so we got all that in response title thing. Thank you guys for your help. I really appreciate it. Okay, well, how does this all work? Well, the idea here is, again, I want a flex razor. I don't want to have anything that I don't need to have. Now, I should mention that these are can be viewed as more ex like a kind of UI style acceptance tests. I wrote them specifically so you could do site.get, site.post, and you could kind of take a look at the information that the page hands back to you. And you can kind of play around with that. But of course, if you want to do other tests in here, you sure can. The idea is with WebMatrix that if you need to have any kind of in-depth logic, split it out into another library. You can unit test away as you want to, if you like, nUnit, XUnit, whatever. Go ahead and do that. Or if you have something lightweight, hey, you can start your testing story right here. Now, I wish I could have this in one or two files as before. Unfortunately, it's just not possible. So let's take a look at how this all works. As I mentioned, inside here we have a couple of things that makes this fire. Now, helpers are all about just dropping HTML in line. It's one of the cool things I like about WebMatrix. It makes it easy to spin up a helper, and it also makes it easy to kind of just use HTML inside of code. Razor actually parses that really well. So when I describe the context, I just output it in H2s. And then up here for pending, it doesn't really get much easier than that. We just use a class pending, and then we pop in the name of the test. Down below here, we then just execute the passed in dynamic function. It's going to return dynamic to us. What it's returning is a class called a test result. I'll talk about that in just a second. If it's through, I'm going to want to show the exception. And it just shows the message here at the very top in the title. And then it shows the exception here in a text area and drops that down below. And finally, if it passes, this is where the green goodness comes out. Now, the idea here, having this in a helper file, is again, you should be able to go in there and change this as you need to. I don't want this locked away in some DLL that you can't change, because you might want to have this branded, and you might want to be able to print this to show to your boss or teammate so they could see how you're doing. All right, so this is the execution. This takes in our dynamic, our func dynamic, and it simply just invokes it, and it catches the exception, and it pops everything back onto the result if there's an exception, and then it hands this back to the should method. So what is test result? If we come back in here to test result, this is just simply an object that holds some information and holds what styles for CSS should be used, if it passed or through, and that's pretty much it. And finally, this is kind of the source of my pain here, my shoulds. You shouldn't ever have to write an assertion framework yourself. But I wanted to be able to work specifically with test results. So when I would say return it should, or excuse me, return condition dot blah, That actually fires up a test result, and then it will say if it's passed or not. And that is how all of this goes together. So we are at 9:51. I have about 8 or 9 minutes left. I'm a little bit vague on a couple things. Oh, I wanted to show you one last little fun thing I put together here. I don't know why I like this so much. It's a little bit of candy. So it's here. And I always feel like, why don't we have this built in? Rails has Flash. Why don't we? And now we do. Woohoo! Yo-ho-ho! All right. If anybody has any questions about what they've seen, let me have it. I'll take questions. What have I got here? I've got about 8 or 9 minutes, and then I got to get out of the way. All right. Let's see. Can you use these helpers? Can you use these help helpers like it? Can you use BMVC3 and non-evil matrix? Yeah, sure. It's just Razor. So I believe. Let me think about that for a second. I said that really too quickly. I think so. Honestly, I don't. Saying that. I don't know. First, I said yes because it is all Razor, and you would imagine Razor would work. Razor should just work. I don't know, actually. Maybe somebody else would know that. Okay, to make all of this work, do we need HTTP context? There's lots of talk about using Razor minus the MVC environment. Well, yeah, I kind of think so. I don't use HTTP context in any of what you've seen here with the testing. This is all just passing stuff back and forth. I could put these in classes and then put the HTML inside of some return variables like strings. I'm trying to think of. There is for site.get, I'm using virtual path utility. Yeah, that's kind of a tough one. Okay, let's see. Where am I at? 9:53. I guess I'm landed a bit early. Oh, there's another question. How can you contribute? Well, I want to work on this a little bit more. I want to bake it so it doesn't crash through the floor. I'm going to put it up. I'm going to put this site up on its own thing in our TechPub repo as soon as I get it going. And then the data stuff, I want to play with it just a bit more. The API signature is still a little bit funky. What I mean by that, let's go back and take a look. It's always a problem when you use stuff like, come down here to the alls, where are they? When you use stuff like, do-do-do-do-do, man. Where is all? I know I just went right by it. Save, string, delete, all. There we go. When you use params, object, args, that's something I ran into head first with the HTML helpers. You get these really convoluted signatures. I thought about using anonymous objects in here. It just gets kind of funky. So the thing I have to figure out here is what's the good signature? Or do we just say write your own query? I mean, I don't like writing code to help people if I don't need to, and web matrix is so close to the metal. But anyway, I want to bake this thing a little bit more, and then I'll put it up. We can, I don't know, go to town. I'm honestly not looking to create another ORM open source thing. If someone wants to run with this, that would just be Marvy. Let's see if we have any more questions. We don't. Okay, well, hey, nothing wrong with ending early. Thank you guys so much for coming and watching me talk about web matrix. Appreciate it.